That was good singing, and we do thank our dear sisters for their playing of the organ and the piano today. That does help even in the worship of the Lord. Thank our brother Roy for making those announcements. And can I say it's a joy and privilege to be invited over to Cross Gar this Lord's Day to fellowship here in this local church and to bring God's Word. If you have your Bible, will you open your Bible again at Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. We're going to consider this morning in the preaching a very familiar, very well known, I suppose oft quoted verse of Scripture. But I trust today the Lord will bring it with that fresh application, as He has certainly done to my own soul in recent times. So with our Bibles open at Romans 1, shall we just ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we come to Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for this service. Thank You, Lord, for blessing our souls, even as we've been singing these words, praying and waiting before God and giving of our tithes and offerings. And Lord, we love this, the meetings of Thy people. And Lord, we know in past days the Lord has graciously drawn alongside, blessed the dear saints of God. Thank You, Lord, I can testify myself personally to those occasions when sitting in the house of God, God spoke to my soul. Maybe it wasn't even what was being preached, but the reading of the Scripture or some line of a hymn was just the word we needed for that time. Lord, we're in Thy hands. We ask that Thou will direct us as Thou seest fit. Pray for the infilling now of the Holy Spirit, His help, the One who inspired this book. Lord, help us to speak Thy word, to speak it aright. Quicken us all by Thy word and according to Thy word. These things we ask again in the name, the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to leave with you this morning the verse number 16 of Romans chapter 1. I think you'll agree it is a well-known verse in the Bible. It's a verse that's quoted many times even in prayer. And there it says in that verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I've often used the illustration that sometimes in our reading of the Bible, we do see through a glass darkly. But if we persevere in our reading of a certain portion, the Lord in His grace will open up that portion to us and we begin to see more clearly the meaning of the word. It's like someone going down to the shoreline and looking out at sea, and in the distance they can make out there's a vessel passing upon the waters, but it's far away and it's hard just to make out. And then you take the binoculars to your eyes and you turn the dial. It comes into focus and you see it so clearly you can even read the name on the side of the ship. Good when God gives us that focus and we see something more clearly than we ever saw it before. That's the exciting thing so often about taking up the Bible. You can take up the Word of God and read Scripture that you've read years and years and years. And then all of a sudden you see something. Or you see something you saw before, but you see it more clearly. And I want to share with you something that I believe that blessed my own soul, thinking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from this text of Scripture. And it's especially those words, if you look at verse 16, it's these words, and Paul is talking about the gospel of Christ. He's saying he's prepared to preach it, even at Rome. He's not ashamed of it. And then he says this, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, we believe, don't we, in the verbal and plenary inspiration of the Bible. We do not hold to that vain notion that God inspired thoughts and gave those thoughts to men and then sort of said, well, you write it down as best you see fit. No, God didn't do that. God gave men the very words to write down. And in the original scriptures, every jot and tittle is of the Lord. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, not a jot or tittle would fail. And heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would never fail. And you know, they can take any hammer they like, and they can hammer away at the anvil of God's word, but praise God, the hammers will wear out before the anvil ever does. You see, that little word, it, it's just a little word. And yet, it came to my soul with real force and blessed my soul. You see, Paul here is writing about the gospel and he says, for it. In other words, let me put it like this. What Paul is saying here is this, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Before we come to look at that in particular, let me say something by way of a few opening remarks. There is, first of all, of course, the great need for this gospel. And of course, you only have to read Romans chapter 1 to discover why men, all men, Gentiles and Jews, need the gospel. No, men are lost. Men are lost. And men are heading for judgment. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it talks about the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Men are lost and men are heading for judgment. And men cannot save themselves, neither by religion nor good works. And men, apart from the light of God's truth, are in absolute spiritual darkness and ignorance. And it is quite amazing what people will believe rather than the Bible. There was a man, well, we're told he was married yesterday in some castle in Italy, who is the public face today of the Church of Scientology. That man believes that many billions of years ago, aliens came and sowed the seeds in this planet that have evolved into us. He believes that. And men will believe anything if they don't believe the word of the Lord. You know, we're seeing in our day, and I fear we have entered into one of those seasons the Bible talks about, perilous times shall come. Fear we're in one. On the one hand, we have the government telling us and the agencies telling us of the terrible rise in drink-related illnesses among young people. And then on the other hand, they also tell us about the awful rise in stress and depression among young people. And I might have got it wrong, but I've always been told that alcohol is a depressant. And so we have a government who says, let's make drink more readily available. Let's make it so that people can drink more hours during the day and night. And then on the other hand, they hold up their hands because of the rise in all of these terrible diseases and depressions. Because men are lost. The Bible says all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And of course, Paul reasons through these chapters until he comes to chapter 3 and verse 23. And we have that great summing up verse. He has been talking about the Gentiles. He has been talking about the Jews who, although they had many privileges and great advantages, yet without the gospel they were lost too. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, men needed the gospel when Paul wrote those words. And men need the gospel today as we read these words. But there's a second thing I would say. Not only is there a great need for the gospel, but I believe in our day there's a great urgency to get this gospel out. You know, we're living in a day, and I don't care what people say. People say, they've been preaching on the second coming of the Lord for years. If you read your Bible and look at the world through the lens of Scripture and then come to the conclusion that Jesus isn't coming soon, then you've a different Bible than me. We live in an age when Iran is poised to drop a nuclear bomb on Israel. We live in an age when Israel is surrounded by fanatical Islamic fundamentalists who will use terrorism to get their goal. We live in an age when the Far East is coming into its own. The Bible speaks, you know, about the kings of the East. China, India, Japan. Those Far Eastern countries are on the march. In fact, China is certainly on the march, gobbling up energy like nobody's business. I watched a documentary not so long ago when it said that by the year 2050, 80% of the gas needed for the United Kingdom will come from Russia and the Ukraine. Now that's all very well, and I'm sure they're willing to sell it to us, but what happens if some Egypt takes over there and cuts it off and we founder? We're seeing the continuing rise of the United States of Europe. Along with that, we have the apostasy, the rise of the cults, and the general decline in morals across the world, and certainly the Western world. How urgent it is for men and women and young people to hear this gospel, the only message that can save them. And then, what is this gospel? There's a great need for it. There's a great urgency in our day to get it out. Thank God for the means that's used today, the radio and the television, to spread the glorious gospel of Christ, our own Let the Bible Speak ministry. Let's all pray. You know, I learned something years ago. I read a statement one day that a quarter of the world's population are Chinese. And I thought to myself, well then, if you pray for the Chinese, you're praying for a quarter of the world's population. We need to pray for all the means whereby the gospel, legitimate means whereby the gospel is spread. But what is the gospel? And what do you need to say in order to preach the gospel? Well, you know, you must begin with a holy God. You notice here in verses 17 and 18, the apostle says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And then in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And in fact, the apostle Paul actually refers to the gospel in verse 1 of chapter 1 as the gospel of God. And if we're going to tell men and women the gospel, we must tell them there's a holy God. and a righteous God, and He's not for turning, and He's not for changing, and He's there. And creation, every day creation speaks that God is there, every day, every night. You know, he's before my time, but old Louis Armstrong sings that song, "It's a Wonderful World," and he talks about the bright, blessed day and the dark, sacred night. Day and night, the psalmist tells us, glorifies God through the creative powers of God. And then we have to tell them that men are lost because of the fall, the historical happening that took place in the Garden of Eden. And men and women have a depraved nature, and they're going to be judged for their sins one day by God. And then we have to tell them that they cannot save themselves. It's not by works of righteousness which we do. It's according to His mercy He saves us. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have to tell them then of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We tell them that it's by faith in Christ, as men and women turn from their sins, that's repentance, and put their trust in Christ and in His finished work. I was standing at the counter last night in the Chippa in East Street in Newton Arch, and through the door came two young men, very well dressed. And I recognized them, they're two Mormons. And they went over and sat down in one of the benches and ordered their fish and chips. I didn't know Mormons ate fish and chips, but there they do. And I just thought about these cults who have, even though the Bible says three times in Scripture, but the great one there in the last few verses of the Bible in the book of Revelation, verses you should mark in your Bible, and if they ever come to your door, just tell them about these verses. "For I testify," Revelation 22 verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things." Now that's what Mormonism has done. Well, they come with the Bible. In fact, they'll even come with the King James Bible. And they'll say, "Oh, we believe the King James Bible." But they also believe the Mormon, Book of Mormon. And they put the Book of Mormon above the Word of God. And the Bible's clear. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." It's the final warning in the final chapter, in the final few verses of the Bible. God says, "Don't touch my word. Leave it alone." And so we have to tell people in the gospel that it's Jesus Christ they need, and they need to come and rest their soul in Christ and Christ alone, and learn the great truth that Christ is all and in all. This is the gospel, that they must repent and believe to be saved. But you know, let me come back then to this particular point that I want to make. You're all familiar, I'm sure, with the things I've said already. But you know, this verse came to my soul. And it says again, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Let me say very simply three things this morning about that. The gospel, this gospel that men need, this gospel, and there's an urgency upon our world today to get it out, for Jesus is coming. We've looked at what the gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and the third day rose again according to the scriptures. There's a living Savior. But I want you to notice, and this is what struck me and blessed me. Number one, the Bible does not say that the preacher is the power of God unto salvation. The preacher is not the power of God unto salvation. Why do I emphasize that? Well, you see, we're living in a day of the charismatic delusion. I've witnessed men on the God channel going through real contortions. In fact, I heard a man recently, and it grieved me because he was a man that I thought was not too bad. And they were raising money, and they need money to keep these television programs going. I realize that. But this man said, if you send in the money, and these were the words, I will release to you a blessing. I thought, rubbish. Let me tell you something. If God has a blessing for you, He doesn't need some man to release it. The blessings of God don't come to our souls by the authority of any man, charismatic preacher or free Presbyterian preacher. You know, I looked at this verse and I says, it's not the preacher who's the power of God. I thank God for preachers. Thank God for our ministers, and let's pray for them that they will be anointed of God. But I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 14. Because here's the great danger. In Acts chapter 14, here we have the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 14, they are at Lystra. And there's a certain man impotent in his feet. He hears Paul preaching. And Paul says, stand upright on thy feet. And he leapt and walked. Now look at verse 11. And when, Acts 14 verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done. Now notice that. As if Paul had this power of himself. This was God's power. He was pleased to use Paul as an instrument and channel. But the people saw what Paul had done. They lifted up their voices. And they said, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands onto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein. It's not men. Brothers and sisters, it is not men. The gospel's the power of God. Now, we need to pray for preachers and evangelists and ministers and pastors. Of course we do. And stand with them in the preaching and teaching of God's word. But let us always remember the preacher's not the power of God. You know, there's one of those TV evangelists, and he sends you a sock, an anointed sock. I don't know whether you get it in Primark or where you get it. But he sends you this sock. Someone pointed out that they have 2 feet and they need 2 socks. But he sends you 1 sock. He has blessed this sock, prayed over this sock. And if you wear that sock, the blessing of God will fill your life. That's, I need to get one of them socks, for the winter's coming in and I'm a postman. And then, of course, we have Benny Hinn on his white coat. And boy, when Benny takes off that white coat, things start to happen. I said to a man one day, if the orange men had them white coats, they would come down the Garvaghy Road no problem. Everybody would just run before them. Brothers and sisters, listen, the gospel's the power of God, not men. And the tragedy of our day is that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are following this nonsense and pouring in millions and millions of dollars and pounds to support these ministries. Thank God it's the gospel is the power of God. Why is that an encouragement? That's an encouragement because, listen, if you're here today and you're not a preacher, and you'll never preach, and you couldn't preach, you can hand the gospel. And when you hand the gospel, the power of God goes in that gospel and with that gospel. Yous, dear ladies who are here, maybe the bread man still comes in country districts, or the milkman, you give the man the gospel, give him the tract, give him the booklet, and pray about it, and pray that God will give you the opportunity, and perhaps in the providence of God, the very day you give it is the very day he needs it. And with that gospel, with that message, goes the power of God onto salvation. Nothing to do with us. Let's be honest. We don't always feel too powerful. There are days when we are down in the dumps. But even when you're down in the dumps, you can give the gospel, for the power of God is in the gospel. Share your testimony. Tell someone how you were saved. You know, God is able. Just in the 12th there, there's a fellow I work with. He's Newton Ard's man, but he married a girl from Portavoga, and he lives in Portavoga. And he was off over the 12th for 3 weeks, and when he came back, I noticed he was different. Because he was pretty loud and would come off with a few switchers in his language. But all that was changed. And I remember I was walking out one day to the car, and he was walking out with me, and he stopped me and said, "Stephen, I have something to tell you." And I thought he was going to tell me that his wife was expecting again. Because there was a funny incident. His wife went into labour, and they were coming up in the car. They got as far as the main street, Kirkcubbon, and the baby came. And when the ambulance driver finally arrived, he said, "Where are you from?" "Boy," he says, "from Portavoga." He says, "Portavoga, and you're having a youngster in the main street in Kirkcubbon." Oh, he says, "Well, at least it's near the Orange Hall." But you know, Lee turned to me that day and he says, "I got saved, Stephen." And I cried, to tell you the truth. And you know, I says, "What happened?" He says, "I was standing in the bar. And I had the drink in my hand and I set it down. I says, I'm tired of this. I'm going home." And he called on the Lord. And he went to the Bible shop and bought a Bible. And for this man to go into the Bible shop, God can save, you know. And if you give out the gospel, the power of God is there in the gospel. It goes with it. The second thing I'll say this quickly is this. Now you might wonder at this statement. The preaching is not the power of God. I thank God for powerful preaching. Thank God for preaching that feeds our souls, enlightens our minds, and fires our spirits. And let us always pray that our men and our pulpits will be anointed with that fire and with that power. But the preaching's not the power of God. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God. You know, when C.H. Spurgeon was saved, you've heard it many times, as a young boy, young man. Do you remember that snowy morning he came into that little church? The preacher couldn't come because of the snow. Very few could come. He sat in the back row. An old man got up. And all he could say was, "Look on to me. Be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else." And he kept saying, "Look." And he pointed at Spurgeon and he said, "Young man, look to Christ." And Spurgeon did and got saved. Now you would say, if you were in that meeting, well, that old fellow did his best. There wasn't much power in his preaching. Oh, but there was. because he preached the gospel. And if we take this message of the cross, you know, if you look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what we would say one of the greatest preachers was the Apostle Paul. But look what Paul says about himself in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." Can I be honest in this pulpit this morning? If you can't be honest in a pulpit, where can you be? You know something, I'll tell you honest truth, I do a bit of preaching around our churches and sometimes in mission halls. There are words that I avoid because I can't pronounce them. I'm afraid the years I did in Castle Garden School and then the years I did in the villa just didn't take me that far. I can't pronounce certain words. And Paul here says, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And why so? Verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Oh, the Archbishop of Armagh, Mr. Eames, said that Richard Dawkins is a brilliant man. And as men look at him, I suppose he is. He could wipe the floor with me. Dawkins could talk about things I have never heard scientifically. I don't have a scientific mind. Sometimes I wonder if I have a mind. But you see, my faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. It stands in the power of God. Again, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 7, again, the apostle, look what he says here. Look at verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," listen, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Why is all this important? It's important because the gospel itself is the power of God. That means you and I. We mightn't have very much education, and thank God for those that do have it and can use it to the glory and honour of God. But even us who don't have much, we can give out the gospel because that's the power of God. Maybe you're here today and you've forgotten all about Pythagoras. Maybe you, like me, you couldn't spell it. And geometry. And the pi of this and that squared and all the rest of it. But if you give out the gospel, people can be saved. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me close by saying just a few things then in the light of this. First of all, we need to share it. You know, you have, when you have the gospel, you have that which is the power of God. Therefore, share it. Give it out. We're coming up to Christmas, and whether you believe in Christmas or don't believe in Christmas, but Christmas is an opportunity to give things to people. Give out the gospel. Maybe you're a father, or maybe you're a grandfather and grandmother, and you're wondering what to give the grandchildren. You know, there's a lot of good literature put out now by Answers in Genesis and creation research, and where the lovely books full of pictures of creation and the gospel is there. Give out the gospel. You know, our dear sister, Moy Leakey, who sings, she's a converted Roman Catholic. She was a cabaret singer and went to America. She was saved through a Gideon's Bible. And when she gives her testimony, she always says, buy somebody a Bible. It was through the Bible she was saved. So let's share it. Let's pray for its advance. You know, if you believe the gospel's the power of God, then you ought to pray. Pray for Let the Bible Speak. Pray for sermon audio. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our missions. Pray for the mission in Lisbon next year. Pray, pray, pray. For this is the power of God unto salvation. And then defend it. I remember years ago, I was just saved, and a fellow, he was from the Iron Hall, actually, and he's a good soul, a good brother in Christ. He was faithful to me, because I wasn't saved when I began to work in J.C. Browse in Belfast. And I remember him, one day he came in, and there was a picture in the paper. It was Dr. Paisley and the Reverend McCrae, and they had got themselves involved in some fracas in London. And I remember the picture wasn't too flattering looking. And I remember this brother, he said to me, and I knew so little then, he says, you know, the gospel doesn't need defended. But I knew enough to know this. I says, George, what about the verse, I am set for the defense of the gospel? And he looked at me, and he looked at me, and he says, I forgot about that verse. No, we can't defend the gospel. This man, Dawkins. And then we have Sir Elton John. Oh my goodness. Sir Elton John, who says religion should be banned. I have a better idea. Let's ban Elton John. A brother in the Lord whispered in my ear the other morning in work, he says, the Christian faith's getting a battering nowadays. So it is. We need to defend it. We need to prize it. This is something from God. This is glorious. And then we need to rejoice in it. Rejoice in the gospel of Christ. So that let your friends, let your loved ones, let your neighbors, let the people you work with know that you really do believe the gospel and you really do know Jesus Christ. And it has really made a change in your life. What does he say? What does this verse say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, not the preacher, not even the preaching, the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. You give the gospel in a tract, you give the gospel in a booklet, you give the gospel in a sermon, you give the gospel in a tape, you give the gospel in a DVD or a video. You give the gospel in your personal testimony. Or you give the gospel by bringing people into the gospel services and the missions. And people have that which is the power of God unto salvation. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord.